Turn once again in the Word of God to this Luke chapter 15 of Luke's Gospel. God willing, we'll try and have a look at all these parables that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks here in this chapter. It'll be a very cursive look, but God willing, we'll take a look and see what Jesus is teaching here to us. We might learn. Just read a few verses at the start. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Think of the picture. Jesus is there. You can see coming from round about publicans and sinners. And they come specifically to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees are there. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they murmur. And they say, this man receiveth sinners. Not only does he receive sinners, he eats with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner more than, or that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Amen. With the word of God open, let's just seek the Lord. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ. Lord, we see in his example how he was willing, Lord, to receive sinners, to speak with sinners. Lord, most of all, we thank you, Lord, that he came to save sinners from the penalty and the guilt of sin. Oh, Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for our Saviour and our Redeemer. We pray, Lord, as we come to consider this, thy word this evening, that we might behold wondrous things out of thy law. And Lord, we pray that you would give us a love for those around, those in sin, that we might share the gospel with them. Lord, that they might be brought to faith in Jesus Christ. Bless us now, we pray. Bless hearer, bless speaker alike. Asking these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. So we have before us, we could say, three parables that Jesus relates here before sinners, publicans, and also the scribes and the Pharisees. We see a lost sheep. We see a lost coin. And we see a lost son. And we've got a picture before us of rejoicing in heaven over sinners repenting. And what is it Jesus is trying to teach us here in these parables? So this evening I just want to consider parables that are indicative of the joy experienced in heaven through the salvation of the lost. So here we see three parables before us. And the first thing I want you to consider is the trigger for these parables. What is it that has happened here in the life and experience of Jesus Christ that triggers him to utter these parables? Well, it's really contained for us in the initial verses of this chapter. He says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And when they come before him, here's what the Pharisees say, or respond. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured. So do you see the picture here before us? Jesus Christ, who's the Son of God. Now, if you read Luke chapter 1, it tells us of Luke writing this scriptures, and he says, I'm going to write it in order. And it's the idea of possibly a synchronized order of these events in the life of Jesus Christ. So what has preceded in chapter 14 occurs before these events of chapter 15. And what happens in 14? Jesus Christ gives up his time and spends it with the chief of the Pharisees. So here's the chief religious leader, and Jesus spends some day with him, part of a Sabbath day. And in that event with the Pharisee, he does a miracle. He heals. But in this chapter, instead of being with Pharisees, he spends time with sinners. In fact, he spends time with what we could say the worst of sinners. Jesus is not going to discriminate between the religious elite and publicans and sinners. He spends time with the Pharisee, and he's quite willing to spend time with sinners, because Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. It would be very easy to discriminate and favour those who are religious and elite and dismiss those who are sinners and, we could say, spiritual paupers. But Jesus has a love for sinners. Publicans, they in essence were tax collectors. They had protection from the state. They were men who in essence were robbers in suits. They had protection of the state. Taxes had to be lifted, had to be collected. It was a mandated from the state. But these men, because it was state mandated, they could take a little bit for themselves and rob the people and take extra money from them. They were unscrupulous in business. And yet, it's these publicans that come to hear Jesus. Not only is there publicans, there are sinners. And that's the thought of the worst of sinners, notorious sinners. And they come to hear Jesus. There's a desire in their heart to hear what Jesus has to say. He doesn't discriminate. James has to deal with it in his book. If a rich man comes into your church and a poor man comes into your church, how do you treat them? Do you say to the rich man, take this prominent seat? And you say to the poor man, be my footstool? But Jesus doesn't discriminate. He takes time with the Pharisees, and he's also prepared to take time with publicans and sinners. That's an interesting question. Do we take time with those who are sinners and the worst of sinners, that we might share the gospel with them? What does it come down to? It comes down to, how do we value a soul? What do we consider the value of a soul? And Jesus put great value in a soul, because what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his own soul? And we see a difference in the Pharisees, because they cared not for souls. They had no interest in the souls of men and women, because look how they respond. And the Pharisees and the scribes, they murmured. That word murmur is the thought to complain. It's the thought to complain with indignantly. They were indignant that Jesus Christ would spend time, receive sinners, commune with them, feast with them, and they couldn't tolerate it. They murmured and they complained because Jesus Christ spent time with sinners. It's not an awful thought for these religious leaders. You see, they thought themselves to be better than others. They were lifted up in their own self-righteousness. They cared not for souls whatsoever. But Jesus Christ had an interest in souls. He understood the value of a soul. And I believe Jesus uses these parables to bring to the Pharisees' mind the value of a soul. And he asks this question to them, and he says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after it which is lost until he find it? Learning value through losing something. When do we value something most? When we lose it and can't find it. Human beings, we've a tendency to be risk averse. We don't like to lose something. And we often find the value of something and realise the value of something when it's lost. I had an old car in years gone past. It wasn't worth very much, but it was valuable to me. When it was involved in an accident and off the road, It was of value to me. It wasn't worth very much, but it had tremendous value because I couldn't afford to buy another one. And there's a difference between price and value. And he seeks, I believe, to teach these Pharisees value. And he teaches them it through losing something. What's he say to him? What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one? You see the picture. If you owned 100 sheep and you're out in the grasslands and you bring them back and you've lost one, you come back and you count them and there's 99, there's one missing. Who's responsible? The shepherd, of course. You're responsible for looking after these 100 sheep, and due to your irresponsibility, you've lost a sheep. And when we're guilty of losing something ourselves, do you know what we do? We really appreciate it when we find it. If we've got something that we treasure and value and lose it, it's only when we lose it that we realise how much value it is or has. And when we realise we've lost it, there's that diligence in our heart to go and look and find it. Why? Partly because we understand its value, and partly because we feel responsible for losing it. And he's putting this thought into their head. Which one of you, you Pharisees that are disdaining these publicans and sinners, what value do you put on a sheep? And he sets this before them. And these, from a human perspective, understand this, the value of something when it is lost. And he says, do you know what? When you find it, when you find that sheep that you feel responsible for losing, it brings an even greater joy to your heart. And I believe Jesus is seeking here to set before the people the value of a soul. Because he says, you know what? When a sinner repents, there is tremendous joy and elation in heaven. It says it's just like this. The joy in heaven is like this one who feels responsible for losing and eventually finds it. It brings a tremendous joy. And he says, you know what? When a sinner repents, there's great joy in heaven. They see the value of a soul in heaven, because in heaven they realize the cost of a lost soul, because the wages of sin is death. A soul is lost for all eternity, dies without Christ. And he's saying in heaven, a soul that is found, there's great elation and great joy that a soul has been found. And he goes on once again to use the example of a woman who's 10 pieces of silver. And once again, I believe it brings to the fore that she is responsible, through carelessness, of losing this piece of silver. And she hunts, she searches, she sweeps the house seeking to find it because she knows its value. And that lost piece that she feels responsible for losing, when she finds it, provides an even greater joy in her heart, maybe a sense of relief. And it's that kind of joy that goes beyond other joys when you find it, something that's been lost and you feel responsible for losing. It's a great elation, and it's that same thought in heaven of a soul that has been saved, which has been lost and has been found. One who's been under the condemnation of God and has been rescued and saved for all eternity. So we see this, I believe, this picture here in these parables to give a sense of the elation that is found in heaven when a soul repents. But then he uses this example of a prodigal son. Because I think in the first two parables, the shepherd and the woman are responsible for losing the sheep through their carelessness or the coin. But in this story of the prodigal son, the young man is responsible for his sad demise. So we'll maybe just look then for lessons from the prodigal son to see what is going on here. What is it the young boy does? Well, he comes to the father and he asks the father for that portion that will come to me when you die. Do you know what the Father does? He gives him such blessings. We do not know what he gave him. I would suggest it seems to be a sizable sum. And the young man, quite happy to take those blessings. We don't see any record of him saying thank you. And he takes himself off into a far country. And it's in this far country that this young man, we could say, he destroys his life. He ruins his life. The Bible tells us he wasted his substance with riotous living. Verse 30 also provides us with another picture of what this young man has done. Look at it for a moment. But as soon as thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Maybe just turn sadly to the book of Proverbs, to chapter 7, and we'll maybe get an insight to what this young man is really like. Solomon here, he utters these words, verse 6, for at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and I beheld among the simple ones. Notice the term simple ones. No wisdom, no understanding. I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. See the picture of him here, passing through the streets near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. He hasn't the understanding to deal with one of subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. She caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have made peace offerings with me this day. Have I paid my vows? Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. And it says, verse 21, with her much fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Verse 27, her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Solomon says, I saw a young, simple boy, void of understanding, and he squandered his life. He ruined his life with harlots. And I wonder, is that a picture of this young man? With all the money, he goes into the far country, and very soon he's stripped of all his wealth. He's stripped of all his dignity, and he's stripped of all his self-respect. Sin brings souls low. And here's a young man, and he's brought to the lowest of the low. And he's brought to a point where he's at the swine trough. And for a Jewish boy, that's the lowest of the low. Do you see the value of a soul? Do you see the value of life? Do you see the quality of life this young man has experienced now? He's at rock bottom. His life is a complete and utter mess. Satan is a hard taskmaster. You say, well, what's that relevance to today? Well, God in heaven pours blessings upon people. He gives people health and strength. He gives them a mind to think. And this father gave blessings to his young man. But he doesn't want the rules and regulations of the father's house. He wants to get away. And he makes shipwreck of his life. And how many young men, young women, older men going through life are very happy to take the blessings that God give them and walk away from God's word and go their own way and bring their life to such a mess as this. Not only the cost in life, the price in eternity. I remember a long time ago when I lived in Belfast, there was a lady, and she was married to a man who was an alcoholic. Sadly, he drank perpetually, and there was very little money for the children, for food and the table, clothes on their back. What would often be said is she had no life. Didn't mean she was dead. She had no quality in life. And sin strips people of quality in life. It destroys life. It brings guilt. It robs souls of peace. And eventually takes souls to hell. Lost for all eternity. But thankfully, here's a young man that remembers home. He remembers his father's house. Why do we share the gospel? To tell of Jesus Christ, to tell of God's love. He realizes there's servants at home and they're well fed and I'm impoverished. And God has a love for his people. And this young man realizes, I have a father at home that actually loves me. Despite all that I have done, despite my sin, despite the squandering of the blessings that he gave me, I have someone who I know loves me. And God, he sent his son, Jesus Christ. Why did he send him? Because of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I believe when you think of that word perish, it has two meanings. They have quality of life, peace of life and peace of heart, and a knowledge that one has eternal life in heaven and they shall never perish. You reject God's word, and it brings heartache and it brings pain. It brings misery in life. Ah, but to follow God's word, it brings peace. Examine your own heart in times when we've gone against God's word. Maybe said something about someone and you think about it afterwards, you think, oh, why did I ever say that? Or why did I ever do that? And you can feel the regret in your heart because of the pain and the guilt. Oh, but if we follow God's word, we've that peace. God gave, we could say, has given people blessings and they walk their own way and they bring misery to life. But there's many young men that are not aware of a father and a loving father from a spiritual perspective. If there's anyone in here this evening who knows not Jesus Christ, you're not in ignorance any longer, because there is a heavenly Father who sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross at Calvary to save his people from the guilt of their sin and from the penalty of their sin. And when the Son comes home, do you know what we see? We see a banquet. And we see that spirit of joy and peace and felicity. And in eternity, there's a heavenly banquet for the people of God and a rejoicing in heaven. How do you stand before God? Are you happy to take all the blessings that he gives to you, but go your own way and make wreck and ruin in life? How many young people, older people, are quite happy to take all that God gives them from health and strength, a sound mind, and go their own way and make shipwreck of their life? Oh, that men and women would be caused to see the love of God, because he gives life. Abundant peace in life, joy in life, and he promises to his people eternal life. And we see the value of a soul. What shall it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his own soul. That we can see a price. What's a value? Well, look at the cost of a soul that is lost. Lost in hell forever, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now we begin to see the value of a soul when we see the cost of one that is lost. May God give us a love for souls. May we not see people as tree swapping. May we share with them the good news of the gospel. And in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, that there might be rejoicing in heaven over souls being saved. May God give us a love for souls. May we not have a spirit like the Pharisees. May we have a spirit like Jesus Christ. As he saw those publicans and sinners, he sought to tell them the truth, the need of salvation, that there is life in Christ and in Christ alone. May we be able to say, I love him because he first loved me. And may we never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For as Christ hung on the cross, he wasn't ashamed of us. And consider then the value of a soul. May God give us a vision and a burden to share the truth of Jesus Christ with them. We might meet with publicans and sinners. We share the gospel with them. We have a love towards them. And love that we will love them enough to tell them of the danger they're in. And that there's a remedy. It's found in Jesus Christ. And do you know what Jesus did? He died on a cross. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That he would pay the penalty of the sins of his people, that we might enjoy forgiveness and enjoy life and enjoy peace. You see how Jesus deals with people? Do you see the wisdom that he demonstrates as he deals with these Pharisees? He asks them a question, and questions require an answer. Certainly requires to think. We think about these things. Maybe you're here this evening and know not Jesus Christ. You think about the value of your soul. See where your life's going, and what about your soul in eternity? That men and women be wise and consider your latter end.